Thanks for downloading the Wave Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Today, I want to continue the series on the domino effect that Pastor Steve talked about last week. And the whole concept of the domino effect is when you make a choice or you do one thing, it has this impact that goes and spreads out from there. And often when we look at dominoes, we see it just a one-off. You know, you see that domino hitting another. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, the picture you need to get in your mind is that it's not just a domino hitting another one. It's hitting another one that hits a whole series of them, and things radiate out in every direction because we make the decisions we make, because we align ourselves up with the purposes of God, because we choose to do what God is speaking to us about in our lives. It brings breakthrough and increase and freedom in our own life. It brings joy into our own life. And then out of that, it begins to flow into all those lives that are around us. And hence we have a domino effect that happens because we're a Christian. The world is not a better place if the Christians left. The world will be a sorrier, sadder place. We are here to bring light and hope and joy to the world. We're not here to point the finger at everyone. We're not here to pull things down. We're here to build things up and bring joy and bring the message of hope into people's lives in Jesus' name. So with that in mind, I want to continue on with our series. And so I'd love to pray for us. And so would you stand to your feet so I can pray and believe God, that He would open up our ears and open up our eyes. Lord, when it comes to Your Word, Lord, You came to bring Your Word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In other words, to show us how to live, how to move, which direction to go. Lord, You brought Your Word into our world not to constrain us, not to hold us back, but to show us how to truly live, how to truly find hope, how to truly find life. And so this morning, as I unpack this part of Your Word the best that I can, I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would do only what You do, which is bring life and bring hope and bring light into this passage, so that we would leave this place full of grace, full of power, with greater wisdom and more understanding, so we can face out today and bring the blessing into tomorrow that You have for us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said together, amen. You can take a seat. My passage today, and I'm going to get straight into it, is James. I started reading James. I find James a very troubling passage, a very troubling book. I don't know whether you've read James, but it's a strange start to the book. So if you've got your Bibles here, I'm going to read out of the Message translation. And you should be used to this Australian accent by now. Pastor Steve does have one. He tries to pretend he doesn't, but he is American, by the way. People ask me, you know, you and Steve came from Australia, but he is American. Even when he was in Australia, we would say to him, "You are the most American Australian I have ever met in my whole entire life," in which he would gladly tell us, "I was born in New York City," as if that is something special for us in Australia to understand. So if you're watching online, Pastor Steve, love you. He's been a great friend for so many years, him and Pastor Sharon. They're just awesome. James chapter 1, verse 2. "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." When I first read that, I'm like, what? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I just want to stop. Sometimes when I read the Bible, it so confronts my worldview that I'm just struggling with it. And to be honest, that's actually what it should do. Because as a follower of Jesus, which we're going to unpack here today, then there are part of our world is actually meant to be unpacked, and our worldview is meant to be changed. The more we follow Jesus, the more it will confront what you believe, how you believe, and how you live your life. Why? To make you and me more human, to make you and me a true representation of what we were truly meant to be, and that is people that are free, full of hope, full of life, not bound up, not held back. So now, let's read this passage. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and troubles come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you will become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. And if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. You like that? Wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When the down and outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as the wildflower. Don't ever count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers, its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's the picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on it in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such a person's loyalty in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil, and he puts evil in no one's way. Temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of your own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby, sin. Sin grows up into adulthood and becomes a real killer. So, my dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light, cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. There's lots in there that we need to unpack. In fact, we're not going to get a chance to unpack all of it in any way, shape, or form. What I want to do is give you three truths that'll help you understand and unpack this passage as we go along. And then I want to give you three points or three things to do as a result. If you understand these three truths, you'll understand what James is trying to say. And if we understand what James is trying to say, then I'm just going to give you three things out of there that he's saying we need to do as a result of understanding that. If we want to be able to consider trials and troubles as all joy coming into our life, if we are to actually live the life that Jesus wants us to live. So let's first of all understand why James is writing that. James, there's many potential reasons, but he is writing it because the day in which he lives, there's troubles all around. They're not troubles like us. This is not written into a free society. It's written to a group of people who are under the oppression of a foreign power and a foreign government. And these people were suffering as a result of that. By the way, when he talks about the rich there, one of the reasons he's talking about the rich in that way is because the rich were actually the oppressors. They were the people that were oppressing God's people and causing God's people to actually live in bondage and all sorts of things as a result. So he was saying, even when bad things happen to those people, let's not put up a shout. Let's not recognize that that's where we are meant to focus our attention on. He's saying there are better things, there are greater things at stake here than just that. So when he's talking about prosperity, he's not talking about prosperity just as you and I would understand. So what is this whole deal and why have I put it in the middle of the domino effect? It's simply this, is that what we need to understand when we come into this passage is that our lives are meant to be a Christian walk. In fact, James, the first truth that we need to understand is that he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people that have made a decision to become followers of Jesus. He's writing to people that understand that being a follower of Jesus means that I've got to walk and I've got to choose to keep walking. And as I walk, I'm going to knock down things in my life because I've got to get set free. I've got to get free of the stuff in my life that's the barrier to blessing. And I'm going to knock down that barrier. But as I knock down that barrier, change is going to produce an impact in and around my life, both positive and negatively. The challenges that come challenge us to step into a God space. The challenges that come into our life cause us to actually find what's in you to come out of you and to be dealt with, and the stuff that's holding you in and locking you from the true freedom and the true happiness that God has for you often actually never shows up until we face a challenge in our life, until we actually understand that these challenges are not from God, but these challenges are actually a part of the life in which we live that God is using to bring out His joy, His peace, and His power in the middle of our lives, and to cause us to actually see the change that He would have us walk into in Jesus' name. See, salvation is free. When you become a Christian, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is say, well, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to become a follower of you. Notice that. I want to become a follower of you. You just got to choose. I'm going to stop living life from my perspective, and I'm choosing to be a follower of you. Why? Because He promises life. He promises joy. He promises breakthrough. He promises that He is going to make you into the you that you want to be and that your ways have been destined to be, in terms of, on the inside, freedom and hope and liberty like never before. But as you do that, as you take the step forward, you've got to keep on taking the steps forward. A lot of Christians pray a prayer and say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and then they stop. Keep living life exactly the same way. Being a follower of Jesus means I've got to try and find what He says and then begin to do. But it's not in my own strength. See, Christianity is not about doing a special group of things or actually living a particular type of life. It's a vital relationship with a God who is in us and around us, who speaks to us through His Word, who speaks to us together. And so what we have to understand is, if I am going to do this Christian walk, I've actually got to see what He says and then recognize, oh God, help me to make this change. Help me to face this thing. Help me to battle through. Help me to push on through. And you'll find yourself breaking into the life that He promises, a life of joy, a life of peace, and a life of hope. See, it's only Christians truly that can have peace in the middle of storms. It's only truly Christians that can actually find hope in the middle of hopelessness. Why? Because our help doesn't come from this world. Our help comes from Him. Our help is in Him. And so in the middle of our storms, in the middle of our trials, we actually have something to rejoice about. So no wonder James starts off saying, consider it all joy. Why? Because he knows there is a hope coming from heaven into your life and into your situation and into your circumstance. But the first thing you need to understand, if you're going to understand what he's saying, he's assuming that the readers of this letter are first and foremost followers of Jesus. The second thing that he has understood is that these people understand that to be a follower of Jesus means you've got to change the way you think. See, when I first became a Christian, I would read the Bible and I'd read parts and I'd go, what would they know? Ever been like that? Maybe you haven't, but I have. I struggle with some passages. And if you're truly someone that reads the Bible, you ought to struggle with some passages. Because there's a part of me that doesn't want to change. There's a part of me that wants to hold on to, at least I know this life you're promising to forgive and to be set free. I don't know that life. Is it really real? And if I choose to love again, won't that mean that I'm going to get hurt again or my life might be a mess again? Does it make sense? So we are called to actually wrestle at times with Scripture. We are called to get a hold of God's word and begin to tug at it and think about it and begin to meditate on it. That's why the Bible talks about meditating on scripture. It's not getting into a little lotus position and floating around the room and picturing a pretty place. It's actually thinking about, what does this scripture mean? God, what are you trying to say? It's about talking to people who are further along the way. What does it mean? How does that work in my life? It's about gathering together. It's about community groups together. It's actually that life that we discover what true life is all about. He understood when he was writing this passage that people's attitudes and people's thinking had to change. You can't just hold on to what you believe. You have to be prepared to let go of ideas and actions and thoughts that are contrary to what God's word says. And if you'll do that, what happens is you find hope and freedom. We're not all yet what we should be. In fact, if you are all that you should be, we should change places. We're all on the journey of walking with Jesus. We all make mistakes. Our attitudes and our thinking all needs to keep changing. That's why the Apostle Paul says that we are to renew our minds. How do I renew our mind? I get involved in reading God's word, spending time with Christians, and understand. By the way, at the time of which that he's writing this, the Greeks and the Romans, the Greeks were invaded by the Romans, so the Greco-Roman thinking, and especially the Romans, were like, our way is the only way. This is the only way you need to think. And you know, if you don't think that way, that's fine, but we're going to kill you. So, you know, there's not many options. It wasn't that you had freedom to think anything you like. You had freedom to think anything you like as long as you kept your mouth shut and did what they said. It's a very different world we live in today. Some societies still have that. Some people still live in those environments. And so he's writing to these people that were oppressed by people, by a whole group of people that wanted them to hold them back and hold them down. And Jesus had been such an impact on their life that it so revolutionized their way of life that they were prepared to actually follow Jesus, even if it meant death. Which leads to my third point. So he assumes that they're a follower of Jesus. He assumes that they understand they've got to change their way of thinking. And he assumes that these people understand that if I am a follower of Jesus, then trouble will come. I don't say that so you can believe God for it. You don't need to believe God for trouble. You just keep needing to breathe. Isn't that true? You don't need to make trouble because there's enough that'll come. If you're making your own trouble, stop it. There's plenty of trouble can come your way. Plenty of trouble is, you know, you just have to fall in love with someone. Get married. Have children. Get a job. Isn't that true? Somehow we think as Christians that everything is like, I don't know, like, you know, you become a Christian, and every day is just awesome. I get up in the morning and I have no troubles. I get up in the morning and, oh, praise Jesus, what a wonderful day. Oh, the birds are singing, my life is wonderful, what a happy, happy day. You only get that when you're locked away in a little rubber room. Troubles come. James is writing to these people to understand, listen, you know that to be a follower of Jesus means there's going to be more trouble. You know that to be a follower of Jesus means you have to confront attitudes. You know that when you say Jesus is Lord in the society in which they live, what you're really saying is Caesar is not. And to say Caesar is not Lord meant that was treasonous. Caesar had set himself up as the Son of God. So to say that Jesus is the one and only Lord, Jesus is the one in control of the universe, Caesar is not, that meant that you were prepared to die for what you believed in it. Now you've got to ask yourself the question, what had they believed, what had they encountered that caused them to rise up into that? And I think sometimes in our Western world, in our relationship with Jesus, we haven't gone deep enough. We haven't chosen to follow Jesus in a real and a dynamic way and to look squarely into his eyes and begin to encounter him in a real and a powerful way that causes us to, he is awesome. He is amazing. Because these people were prepared to risk everything to be a follower of Jesus. For you and I, if you'll just stop and take the time, if you'll just choose to become a follower of Jesus in that way, you'll discover how rich, how wide, how incredible this life is with him. You'll discover how amazing it is to truly be a follower of Jesus. You'll find freedom that you'd only ever dreamt of. You'll find hope in the middle of hopelessness. That's what these people had discovered. And that's what you and I can still discover. And that's what James is trying to address, and James is trying to bring into our reality, and James is reminding these people of. So there's the three frame points about understanding James, and you might need that as you begin to read through James, because he talks about a whole lot of other things. Don't say that you're being tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt anyone. He says that you're the problem. I don't like that. I was reasonably offended by that. If James was here, I'd tell him, James, I'm offended. If you're watching online. And then James would say, well, Jesus says you have to forgive me. I'll say, thank you very much. You don't like Christians like that. I'm joking. You're all looking at me very seriously. So here's three things that I think we need to do if we're going to consider it all joy, if we're actually going to have that attitude, because you can't have that attitude naturally. You can't choose to consider things all joy unless you have a reason behind it. Here's some things we need to do. First thing we need to do is to understand that, I've got to get my points in the right order, otherwise I'm going to get lost. I don't want to jump ahead of all the things I've got because they're really good. All right, here's the first thing we need to do if we're going to understand and to begin to do that is ask God for wisdom. Because he says that to start with. He says, consider it all joy. And when we are going to consider it all joy, the reality is you have to go, how do I do that? And he gives us the wisdom to be able to do that. He says, here, let me read it out for you. If you do not know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. Do you believe he loves to help? Do you believe your prayers actually have power? Do you believe that God wants to answer your prayers? One of your greatest prayers you can pray is, God, I actually have no clue what to do. And God, if I'm honest, I feel like I'm about to die. And God, if I'm really honest, I feel like a really hopeless space. And I'm full of doubt and unbelief, but I'm challenged to dare to believe that you are real and that you want to bring life and wisdom into my life. You know why I know that prayer? Because I pray it often. Because God is not looking for a complete, answer from us. Well, God, I want to give you the 10 things I'm doing right now to get my answer. He's just looking for us to be honest with him. So many Christians aren't honest with God. And he is all-knowing. So it's not particularly intelligent to actually try and fool a God that knows everything before you even pray. So why not just be honest? God, you know I'm having a little trouble here. You know I'm full of doubt. I love the guy that wanted Jesus to heal his son, and he said, Jesus was talking about, do you believe? And he goes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. We kind of think that if you have unbelief from James, he says there, don't be like these worry prayers. See, there's a difference of being a worry prayer. In other words, a person who focuses only on that worry, on the situation, than someone that actually confesses the fact they have doubt. It's okay to have doubt. It's not okay to focus on your doubt. What I need to do is focus on the promise, which you'll give me wisdom, you'll give me help, and you'll take me through to the other side, rather than focusing on my doubt. People who pray, oh God, you know, the world's mess, we're all gonna die, and I don't know how we're gonna survive the afternoon. Even God's checked out. He's like, are you finished? You're done? What are you asking for? I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for help. I want to see to the other side. I want to know. Here's what I think, three things that I think you'll get if you actually ask God for wisdom. Just three thoughts that I had. I'm sure there's plenty of others. He'll give you peace, because that's what he's done for me. In the middle of my storm, I find peace. He'll give you some peace. Second thing I think that he can do and has done for me, he might give me a revelation. That aha moment, that, you know what I should do? You know, sometimes we think we're so smart. We go, I know what I need to do in this situation. That was probably a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, a spiritual gift where the Holy Spirit's in your ear. And you go, oh, man, I'm so smart. I'm flowing today. I'm cooking. The third thing is you'll bring people into your life that can help. When you're in the middle of the storm, often you don't want people. If I'm having a pity party, I like to do it alone. Actually, I need people. That's why we have the church. The church was not an optional extra. Oh, by the way, you could go to church if you feel like it. The writer of Hebrews says, let's forsake not the assemblies of God, assembling together. Trying to get my words out. Speaking Australian instead of American. He says, in other words, he's saying, why aren't you turning up to church? You want help, you want friends, you want family, you want connection, but you can't get out of bed. You want to go surfing instead? You like that little rhyme? He'll bring people into your life that can help. To have people in your life, you've got to be around people in life. They're just three things that I found. I think there's plenty of others. I think there's lots of them. But here's the deal of saying you've got to ask God for wisdom. That's what James says. Here's the second thing we got to do is don't put your trust in things. Often when you're in the middle of trouble, you want to hold on to things. I want to hold on to stuff. I want to hold on to something. I want to, you know, I'll go on shopping sprees, or I'll do whatever. I'm going to get some stuff in my life that'll make me feel better. That's what he's talking about. I've already mentioned it before in verses 9 to 11. When the down and outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is short-lived as wildflower. In other words, he's saying, don't put your trust in that stuff. If you're prosperous, more power to you. Because I believe God wants to make you prosperous. But he makes us prosperous for a purpose, so we can make a difference in the world. He doesn't make us prosperous for our own sake, because your own sake doesn't do much. If you become wealthy overnight, all it does is highlight everything you've got wrong in your life in the first place. Just means you've got more money to make it worse. Isn't that true? It's not things that solve our problems. It's relationship with Jesus. And going through the trials, and as we go through the trials and as we keep on pushing forward, we knock that domino of blessing over that brings release and freedom into our life. I deal with my attitudes and my stuff, and I begin to keep moving forward because I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm knocking down this blessing. I'm bringing that blessing, and that blessing hits into my life, and then it begins to outwork into all the lives of all the people around me, because when I'm blessed, when I'm free, everybody else gets a blessing. Nothing worse than people bound up. They walk into a room, you can feel them. They're here, aren't they? People that are struggling with stuff. It's not that we want to exclude them. But the first thing we've got to recognize is you don't hold on to things to get set free and to actually get through the other side of your trials. And the last thought is really simple. In verse 12, he says, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such a person, loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. I'm sure there's more as you unpack. If you grab the book of James, if you're facing trials and troubles, let's make a choice together. I'm going to consider it joy. Why? Because it's going to produce something in my life. It doesn't mean that I have to enjoy it. It just means I have to endure it. It doesn't mean that I have to live for it. It means I live for the other side. Terrible things happen to people at times, the just and the unjust. And maybe there's stuff that you're going through that you say, well, how do I turn this around? You don't. That's the blessing. God, the Bible says, turns all things around and makes them all work for good in our life. You say, but how does God make this thing work for good in my life? It's so terrible, so horrible, so bad. I don't know. That's because He's God and He just can. That's why James is saying, consider it joy, because no matter what you are facing, no matter what mountain is in front of you, no matter what trial and testing you are in the middle of, it doesn't matter, because God wants to bring you through it in love, in peace, and in comfort. It's not that you ignore the troubles. They're real. But it's you see through them to a God who's standing with you. A God on the other side is saying, come on, we can do this. A God on the other side saying, hey, we're going to get through this trouble. You're going to get freedom in your life like never before. You're going to find blessing like never before. You're going to find hope like never before. Come on, come to the other side. Come on through. Come on through. I made you greater than this. I've created a spirit in you that is an overcomer. You can make it through. You can make it through. You can make it through. People James were writing to, lost people, people were murdered in front of them. They were in the middle of an incredible persecution. So James is just not writing some happy thoughts. Well, I know things are bad, but one day it'll get better. He's telling you truth. He's saying, let's go. We got this. Greater is He that's in you than anything in the world. He's saying there is a spirit within you that can empower you and cause you to rise up and overcome. He's saying there's better days ahead. You may not be in a trouble, a trial, but I want to remind you that one day you're going to find yourself. And the question, what are you going to do? How about we decide to consider it all joy? How about we decide that it's not going to hold us back? How about we decide, I'm just going to keep on moving because I'm a follower of Jesus. How about I'm just going to get up and I'm going to keep moving because greater is He that's in me, that I have a spirit in me that's rising me up, empowering me and giving me the power to overcome. I'm not doing it in my strength. I'm not doing it in any other strength but His. And God, give me wisdom. God, help me through. God, I need You to be able to do this. And remind yourself that God rewards endurance. There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, I thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. That, Lord, stuff happens in our lives. Stuff that we'd probably rather not, but You use it to bring good into our lives. Oh God, we don't know how that happens. And sometimes that seems so impossible. Sometimes that seems just so implausible. But You are the God of the miraculous. You are actually God. And we believe You. We believe You. We believe that we can get to the other side. We believe that this can turn around. We believe that, Lord, the enemy might have meant it for evil, but You're going to turn it around for good. Other people might have caused it to happen to pull us down, but You're going to cause us to rise up. Stuff might have come against us on the left and the right and every direction, but You're going to have Your way. You're going to bring us through. It might not happen the way we had expected. It might not happen in the way we hope, but it is going to happen because we believe in a God of the resurrection. We believe in a God of the second chance. We believe in the God of the miraculous that turns all things for good and makes them work into our lives. lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for people here that need hope, we speak hope. For people here that need peace, we speak peace. For people here that need a revelation that God is for them, we speak that into their situation and into their circumstance in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, I don't know where you're at in this journey of life, but if we go back to the first thought, James anticipated that every one of those people reading that letter were Christians. They were followers of Jesus. And maybe you were once a follower of Jesus and you've just stopped. Maybe stuff happened and you just stopped. Maybe you ran away and went in a different direction. Or maybe you've never asked Jesus to forgive you and started walking for Him, walking towards Him. This morning, if you want to turn your life around, if you want to become a follower of Jesus again, or for the first time, or for the 44th time, or the 444th time, then I want to invite you in a minute. We're all going to pray a little prayer. And as we pray, we're going to repeat it after me. And as we pray, I wonder whether in your heart, you'll just pray it with faith. Maybe you're full of doubt. Maybe online, you're sitting there going, I've been to church and I just lost my way and I don't know. If you just choose to dare to believe God, God, you can turn this around. God, I choose to follow you. Pick yourself up. I said before, Christians, being a Christian is actually not doing everything right. I wish it was, but it's not. It's about asking for forgiveness. And then in asking for forgiveness, I begin to follow Him. And as I begin to follow Him, I find a power within me that causes me to walk towards Him and to be changed and to become more like Him. And as my desires and my decisions begin to align with what He says, I find myself more free, more real, and more open, and more human than I ever was before. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's a relationship with God. Too many of us have turned it into a prayer. We've asked Jesus to come into our life and we're, okay, we're done. It's more than a prayer. Prayer opens the door to start a walk with Him. In the ups and the downs and the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, tough seasons, easy seasons. Let's just take a walk with Him. Let's pray this little prayer. And if you need to pray it fresh and anew today, I wonder whether you pray in your heart, I need to turn it around. I need to become a follower of Jesus again, or I need to become a follower for the first time. So let's pray this prayer. Let's repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, come on, loudly. I come to you. I ask you to forgive me for all my failings. And I thank you, Jesus, that you hear my prayer, that you have forgiven me, that from this moment on, I am brand new on the inside. That I have a fresh beginning. And I choose this day to follow you. I choose this day to believe in you. And I thank you, Jesus. You accept me as I am. And that I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord some praise. Online, if you made that prayer for the first time, I wonder whether you pressed that little button that says, I made a decision. But right here, can we close our eyes just one more time, bow our heads? If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you wanted to turn your life around, you want it maybe the first time or maybe to start again following Jesus. I wonder whether you raise your hand, give me a wave so I can pray with you, a prayer over you for right where you are. Yeah, yeah. Up the back, on the floor here, over there. Yeah, God bless you. Others online, there are already people online making that decision, pushing that little button that says, I'm making a decision. Yeah, God bless you, sir. God's going to meet you right where you're at. He's not asking you to change and become perfect. He's asking you to just become a follower of Him. Yeah, God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, for these people that are wanting to turn around and to follow you anew and afresh today, I pray that you would speak into their situation and circumstance. That, Lord, that you'd make yourself so real to them. Lord, that you would rush in and bring hope and life like never before, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. Time's nearly coming. I know you want to clap because there's a lot of excitement when people make a decision to turn around and follow Jesus, so we should clap. But I want to pray for people that are finding yourself just in a bad space. Maybe trials and troubles have just seemingly overwhelming you. I want to pray that God would give you hope in the middle of maybe what is a hopeless situation. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's something happening in the family. Maybe it's things that you can't control. You've tried to control it, but you feel like I'm just at a lost cause. Let's believe together with you that God can turn things around. It may not work out the way you hope, but he'll bring you through to the other side, because that's his promise, that there is a better day ahead. There's a better life available, that you can have peace in the middle of a storm. So can we pray for those people? Can we bow our heads one last time? Online as well, you reach out just towards that screen. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, okay, fantastic. Father, you are the God of all peace. I pray that you give each person here that raised their hand and online real peace, real sense of prevailing in the middle of a storm. Let courage arise in their hearts and in their lives. Father, we're not called to do this life alone. And so, Lord, let them find place within your family, within your body. Let them find hope in your word. And Lord, let them find a new sense of your presence around and on their life, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now let's give the Lord some praise. Come on, for those people that made decisions, for the breakthrough that's coming, for those people that are finding themselves in situations, circumstance. Let's believe together that the enemy meant it for evil, that God's going to turn it around for good in the name of Jesus.
Oh. Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.